Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, episode 4074. Old Crow Medicine Show. It's from a 2004 CD. Yeah. I got a big CD collection still. 2004 CD, OCMS. And just the initials, Old Crow Medicine Show. The name of the song is We're All in This Together, and it serves as the title for today's show. We're all in this thing together. Walking the line between faith and fear. We'll do it next.
Walking the line between faith and fear. This life don't last forever. When you cry, I taste the salt in your tea.
You know, as different as we all are, we're sure an awful lot alike, aren't we? Things, people, not always as they appear. I mean, sometimes I can sit across from a leader that I'm coaching and I can think, how can you not be more confident? You know, some high-flying, hard-charging, ridiculously competent, very educated person. And they can suffer the same fears that all the rest of us do. In the last episode, I questioned our perceptions, mostly due to our inability to get our attention off ourselves long enough. And I guess that surely plays a part in all this. You know, we get wrapped up in our own lives and we look over at somebody else and we think, man, they got it all together. They got it all going on. And mostly we go through life never knowing how much fear, never knowing how much anxiety rules the lives of our seemingly confident and competent friends. Welcome inside the Ellis Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast. Again, Old Crow Medicine Show. Big fan of these guys, been a fan for a long, long time, at least since 2004, when I bought this CD You should buy their stuff. It's available over at iTunes, Google Play, and I'm sure you can still find CDs if you're so disposed. You might even be able to find vinyl somewhere, should you choose. I think the boys got it right. I think Old Crow Medicine Show got it right on both counts. We're in this together, and we do all walk that line between faith and fear, but this is not a show about crying in our soup together. Misery may love company, but misery is going to have to go look somewhere else today, because I'm not interested in harboring misery today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today. It's mostly about our common experiences. It's mostly about our feelings, our fears, and just how much alike we all are. The world is not so large that we're in a place terribly unique from everybody else. It is indeed a small world. And just like the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. Heartache, happiness, everybody experiences these two H's. I think it's our common goal and our challenge to chase away heartache as fast as we can and to hang on to happiness for as long as possible. At least I think most of us are, that's what we would prefer. I'm not saying that we're all great at it. I'm not saying that we're all even very accomplished at it. But I do think that that's kind of the ideal. Man, let's get rid of the heartache as fast as we can. Let's fix it, solve it, overcome it, whatever. And happiness, boy, let's hang on to it just as long as we can. Now, it can be, here's kind of the paradox of it all, wanting to hang on to happiness, and then there's that fear and that anxiety that, man, it's going to slip away tomorrow. We're going to lose it tomorrow. Tomorrow something bad. And so happiness gets foiled by our anxiety. Mostly, I think we're trying to speed up one, heartache. We're trying to slow the other one down, happiness. I'd love to tell you that I know people who succeed at this. I would love to tell you that I got it all figured out. Yeah, no. Still, we try. Still, we try. And I got some people that need to, I got some people that can sing to us about this kind of a thing. Here, listen to this. Heartache, look for another. I'm tired of being your best friend. But there are some people that embrace heartache. There are some people that don't try to speed up heartache. Some want to slow it down. I can freely confess there are times that being blue, I don't know, I'm searching for another word. It's not a clinical depression. So I don't want to be misunderstood. Completely different is clinical depression, which should have professional help. I'm just talking about feeling down and kind of embracing that. And I can tend to want to make heartache in that regard my best friend. And frankly, rather enjoy it. Her name is Valerie Carter, by the way. A 1977 CD, again, a CD. A great, great record, just a stone's throw away. The name of the song is Heartache. fairly certain you can buy that record over at iTunes and other digital outlets, but I've had the CD. I wore out the vinyl of this record. Valerie Carter was a woman who sang a lot of backup for a number of people through the years. Kind of was part of that Southern Cal group. And it's just a great record. In fact, there's another song from that record that is, well, it's just the opposite. And so, come on, if we're going to have heartache, then we got to chase happiness. And who better to sing about both of them? I mean, since she already sang to us about heartache, let's let her sing to us about happiness, shall we? Valerie Carter, again, from Just a Stone's Throw Away. So Happy, that's the name of the song. Same record, same person, Valerie Carter, Just a Stone's Throw Away. If pain or heartache didn't last long, then we wouldn't learn what we need to. I mean, that's what I know. Patience, thanksgiving, empathy, grace, forgiveness, all those other things that, unfortunately, happiness just does not seem to provide. Are you struck like I am with the thought of positives that come from negatives and negatives that come from positives? I don't know why it works that way, but it does. So there's a benefit to heartache. Yeah, there's a benefit to happiness too. So yeah, just listen to Valerie. Back in the late 90s, Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he hired Calvin Hill as a consultant to help the young players on, well, today's Cowboys roster to cope with the problems that were facing these young million-dollar athletes. Now, Calvin, he was from a different era, and you may be too young to remember when Calvin Hill was himself a Dallas Cowboy, and many people know him more as Grant Hill's father of the NBA. But Calvin has gone on record that he's driven to help today's young NFL players learn to manage their resources by preserving them for a time when they're no longer going to be earning this big money that some of them are earning today. It's very easy for a young athlete, or so I'm told, to think, you know, this is going to last for a long time. I'm never going to outlive this money. And we've just continued to see stories in the media of multi-million dollar athletes, men who earned crazy, insane sums of money over the course of their career and just end up destitute. Well, Calvin Hill is intent on helping these young athletes learn some self-discipline, some self-control, so they won't derail their career. All their good fortune, happiness, it can destroy them if they don't have the skills to cope. Now, unfortunately, a lot of these young men have never learned the lessons that Calvin Hill is trying to teach them. And I rather suppose, like any good teacher, he's not finding every student willing and able to accept his teaching. Their disadvantages in life go far beyond any financial difficulties they may have had growing up. The biggest disadvantage is a lack of knowledge. The biggest disadvantage is a lack of experience. The biggest disadvantage is a lack of wisdom. Hard lessons are often the very best learned. Now, unfortunately, for most of us, they take time and they take repetition. In some cases, they take heavy doses of misery as well. They bring about desperate times.
Comes a time in every life, you grow up and move away. Or you can say that you're satisfied and grow old here and stay. But things ain't really taking off, and everybody here can see. I watch them pack their cars and run, but that ain't gonna be.
His name's Will Hodge, H-O-G-E. It's a 2015 record, brand new. Well, this year. The name of the record is Small Town Dreams. The name of the song is Desperate Times. Desperate times, we've all had them. Tough times last, but don't last, brother. Let's get it right. I've even got it written right here. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Yeah, right.
Hoping we can come out on the other end. So we always make these jokes. You know, you're seeing light at the end of the tunnel, or is it just a train coming your way? Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Sounds good. It's complete crap, but it sounds wise. Tough times can last a lot longer than most tough people. And desperate times aren't nearly as merciful as, well, they're not nearly as merciful as Ronda Rousey. 34 seconds, you're done. You're out. No, tough times, they can last. Just they like to wrestle us to the ground, bind us up, and then just keep messing with us until we're just completely exhausted. And just when we think we might be able to get our wind back, tough times laugh at us and the body slam us to the floor. And they just start the process all over again. We can tap out, The problem is there's no referee to stop the fight. So what's the point in tapping out? You better just fight, because your only hope is to make that trite statement, tough times don't last, but tough people do, to make it not be crap, but to make it come true. And so you have to outlast tough times. Desperate times, as Will Hodge just sang. Okay, but catch your breath quickly as you're wrestling with tough times, because you're going to start learning that, you know, when all that trouble comes and all the learning hits, these are when you're learning things. These are when you're figuring things out. And it's best for us to embrace all that learning while we can. Now, this gets really, really tough while you're in the throes of fighting for your life to try to figure out what you're learning. Usually the learning happens after the fact. At least it has for me. I'd love to tell you that I'm so smart and I'm so attuned to things that in the throes of struggle and strife and misery, I can see the lesson. Not so much, because it's just, in retrospect, it was just such a horrible thing. And yeah, okay, horrible is a relative thing. Sometimes they're way horrible and sometimes they're just moderately so. But I think as we absorb all the body blows that life gives us, and all the chokeholds and all the stress positions that life puts upon us, like Ronda Rousey, or just the right-hand punch that just knocks us on our backside. It's when we come to, it's when we pick ourselves up that we realize, you know, okay, some happy lessons came out of this.
Give me happy lessons, teach the corners of my mouth to smile. I haven't much to give back, but maybe we could hold hands for a while. If you give me happy lessons, I could mend this broken wall. And then we'd walk along it, to make it last, we would stall together. Happy go lucky is the key, you say, but somehow I still can't see. Where does it come from? Could I get some for less than 5 humble pounds a week? Could you give me happy lessons? Teach the corners of my mouth to smile. I haven't much to give back, but maybe we could hold hands for a while. You gave me happy lessons. I could mend this broken wall.
They are the Vespers. It's from a 2010 record. I was going to say CD. Seems like everything I've played so far. Well, not a Will Hodge. That was a download. The Vespers, yeah, I've got some CDs, but I can't tell you. At any rate, it is the Vespers. It's from a 2010 record, Tell Your Mama. The name of the song is Happy Lessons. Yeah, we want happy lessons. The problem is we'd like our happy lessons to be happy. And happy lessons, they come from mostly desperate times. They come mostly from misery. They come mostly from struggle and strife and the hassles of life. Yeah, I don't know why that is, but seems to be how it rolls. Well, no wonder we're afraid, because so much can go wrong. And most of us, we've experienced enough to know that the odds just don't seem favorable for something good out of struggle, out of strife, or at least we think that. I don't think that's true. But in the moment, we just think to ourselves, nothing good's going to come from this. And unfortunately, we're wrong. Well, fortunately, we're wrong, maybe. Now, I'm not one of these people that will tell you, oh, something good can come out of any bad thing. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm just not real sure about that. Are you a pessimist? You just naturally gravitate toward thinking of everything that can go wrong. I don't care if it's unpopular to admit it, own it. I mean, if that's you, own it. I don't think you don't have to be Lewis Black. You know that comedian? He's just this snarky, surly, down in the mouth kind of a guy. It's a bit, but I've seen him give speeches and things, and I think he is naturally wired that way. You don't have to be like him. It doesn't mean that you have to be fatalistic. You just think, this isn't likely going to end well. Is that you? Or maybe you're at the other end of things. You're always thinking about how great things may turn out. I mean, that just seems like an exhausting way to go for me. I mean, how often must you be disappointed if this is you? I mean, talk about a blind-eyed beatdown. Time after time, life shows you who is boss, and still, you're thinking, no, I'm your daddy. I mean, the only thing you're the daddy of is idiocy, but that's me. That's me, because I am not that way. I'm not rose cutter glass guy. I know you. You're in that overpopulated middle ground of people who say, I'm not a pessimist or an optimist. I'm a realist. Sure you are. Sure you are. Just keep on telling yourself that. I keep telling myself that. I tell myself that every morning when I fill out that entry for the HGTV dream home and the DIY blog cabin. I'm a realist. That's why I think I've got a fighting chance to win this thing. I'm thinking about how much I'm a realist when I enter the Publisher Clearinghouse sweepstakes for $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. And then when you die, it goes to somebody else that you name. Yeah, get your head wrapped around that. How cool would that be? Okay, well, actually, I may veer toward optimism on that one. I'm just almost convinced I could win that one. One chance in about 7 billion, and I actually think it could happen. And why are you smiling? Because you do it too. You still think you've got a solid grip on reality? Yeah, so do I. Well, guess what? We're both wrong. We're both crazy as bed bugs, both of us. But it's good though, isn't it? It's good because we're in this together. See, this is the cool thing. This is the very cool thing. We can be delusional, but at least we're in it together. It's good to dream dreams. We're so crazy, we think we may even have a chance. It may happen to us. Yeah, okay, it may happen to us, but only in our dreams.
I'm a perfect
Her name is Kate Earle, 2009 record. The name of the record is just her name, Kate Earle. The name of the song is Only in Dreams. Escape, imagining, thinking of what might be, thinking of what could be. Nothing really hard about that. Well, maybe it's hard for some. It's not for me. It's not for you. Do you watch NCIS? The original one. The one with Gibbs and DeNozzo. Tony's dad, played by Robert Wagner. He's a bit of a con man with a dream of grandeur. Well, he's got probably many dreams of grandeur. And every time we see him on the show, he's just a deal or two away from hitting it big. He's Tony Sr. He's Tony DeNozzo Sr. as a character. Tell him that it's healthy to live under this delusion that you're just one big score away. You're just one big score away from a jet set lifestyle. Because Tony DeNozzo Sr. is living it only in dreams. No, you don't want it to be only in dreams. It's good to dream. Nothing wrong with dreaming. Self-awareness, though. Self-awareness is hard, hard work. Recently, our local ABC station, they interviewed Dallas resident billionaire Mark Cuban. Dale Hansen. Dale Hansen is our local sports anchor rock star of WFAA television, a famous TV station. And been around for a long, long time. And Dale Hansen is the resident rock star station of the station and the sports anchor. And he did this interview. And the interview, I don't know that it went viral, but it got a lot of play around the internet because he asked Cuban about the difficulty of raising kids, especially with the kind of wealth that Cuban's got. And Mark said that it was the hardest work. It is the hardest work he's ever done. To raise kids who are not entitled jerks. And that was Mark's phrase. Here, listen to just a snippet of it.
Do you see yourself pushing them in any fashion to achieve greatness?
I push them to value learning. I try to push them to be excited about learning. I try to push them to be inquisitive about the world and understand what's going on. I try to push them to have confidence in themselves, but not to take anything for granted. And to, you know, try to be good people. You know, that's my biggest fear, that they grow up to be entitled jerks. And there's, you know, I caught it with my oldest daughter. You know, I'm like, you're not all that, right? Now, 11-year-old girls in general are going to think they're all that.
They are all that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, look, you know, you've got to be self-aware. That's the word I use. You know, I want you to be self-aware. No one's perfect, right? And as close as you are right now, I just want you to be able to grow up and live a life that you enjoy.
Cuban knows the value of self-awareness. He knows the value of it for himself. He knows the value of it for his kids. Yes, 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 yes. We see the public Mark Cuban on Shark Tank. But is that really who he is? Partly. He has to put on a show, just like all public figures. That's part of his self-awareness. Might make a good topic for another show, you think? The different personas that make us who we are. But just because Mark is one persona on Shark Tank does not mean that that's who he is at other times. mean, go to YouTube and watch some snippets of the biggest stars, the very biggest stars. You will see way over the top personalities. Go to ET, Entertainment Tonight, go to TMZ, go to these other shows on TV that have hosts who behave the same way. Super excited, very enthusiastic, where everything is thrilling. We got podcasters that are doing the very same thing. It's a persona. It's a persona, and it's clearly, well, it's vexing to me, but clearly people are attracted to it because it drives viewership. Now, you may be thinking, how fake? But you could also understand that it's a persona. It's a ploy. It's a ploy to display the personality that fits the setting. Call it acting. Call it amplifying. It's a good topic. I got some opinions. Well, you knew I would. But let's table that for another day in another episode, shall we? I'll make note of this. Self-awareness. Self-awareness. That's the title. Self-awareness isn't just about you being aware of who you are. It's also about being aware of where you are and who else is where you are. We're in this together. Not necessarily at the same time. That line between faith and fear isn't necessarily a line involving religious or spiritual faith, but it might be. For me, that line is very distinct and very established, and any waffling that I do these days is between the line of faith in myself or others, or a strategy or a process, and my fear about those things. Now, it doesn't matter what your faith versus fear line looks like. We've all got that line to walk. The line between religious faith and fear, yeah, it's not a line I don't really struggle with that. I mean, the faith in myself, the faith in others, the faith in a process, the faith in an action, and my fear about those things, that's my line to walk these days. Lately, Donald Trump, he's been making an enormous splash. Boy, who saw this coming? Somebody asked me what I thought Donald's fears might be, and I told him, I don't have any idea, but I know he's got them. And I suspect he's got more of them than you would think he's got, because anybody worth $4 billion likely has more fear than you or me, simply because he's got more to lose financially. Money isn't everything, no doubt, but $4 billion is a whole lot of whatever ain't everything. And hopefully I am spared those worries. Looked over at Wikipedia in preparing for today's show and read this definition of faith. Faith is confidence or trust in a person or thing or a belief not based on proof. Well, I don't agree with that. I think that's hogwash. I namely disagree with that last part. Not based on proof. That's delusion. Faith isn't necessarily, although it could be, delusional. And by the way, I mean it today is the belief based on what's possible, namely your belief in yourself. As some would prefer a term, confidence. Okay, go with it. If we're all in this together, here's the question of the hour. If we're all in this together, why do I feel so alone? Well, boy, that's a question that we could wrestle with for a very long time. No, don't worry, I'm not going to. Mostly, I think it's because we all wear masks. Necessarily so. I mean, go back to what I just said about personas. Complete candor, including showing our anxieties and showing our fears all the time, it's not practical. It's not safe. I mean, do that at work. Go to work. Go to work and show all of your anxieties and show all of your fears. You're going to end up either in the boss's, well, no, you're going to end up out the door. Do it in your family relationships. See how that works out. Boy, he's needy. Boy, she's needy. Boy, it's always about her. No, there's a balance there. And we're always, aren't we? Aren't we always trying to, hopefully, we're trying to strike that balance between times of showing our anxiety, showing our fears, showing our vulnerabilities, and other times showing, yeah, okay, we're good. We're good. I mean, some of us are better at it than others. It ranges from people who don't mask anything and what we know them as, yeah, drama queens. Drama queens, always clamoring for attention and the sympathies of others, chasing sympathy and attention from others. Yeah, those are the people who don't have any balance in masking things. But at the other extreme are the people that are so stoic, you never know what's going on with them. You never know what they're thinking. You never know what they're feeling because they are just plastic. Finding lines and being able to successfully walk those lines is just part of what this is all about. Wisdom is partly seeing the lines. Okay, today, based on that lyric by Okro Medicine Show, it's that line between faith and fear. But there are tons of other lines that represent all kinds of things that we have to successfully navigate. Most days, to be fair, most days I'm doing good to just see a few of the lines. Not all of them, just a few of them. Better yet, I'm mostly just seeing the dots. I'm mostly am seeing dots that I need to connect in order to draw a line. And so that'll show you how far behind the curve I can be sometimes, most times. I'm sitting with an incredibly talented, competent leader. It's a professional hazard that I suffer, you know, working with some extremely capable leaders and, okay, some who are less than stellar. This particular leader is suffering a bout of low confidence. Best I can tell, nothing has caused it. There's been no monumental event that has sparked this sudden loss in confidence, but here we are. Just this sweeping feeling has come over this person over the last week or so from the time that I'm sitting down. And here it is persisting today, about a week long at this point. And there appears to be no end in sight. And as we talk about it, I jot down a note that becomes today's episode, this very episode. And that was months ago. Months ago, proving once again that the line between what I want to do and what I ought to do is a line that I don't walk nearly enough. It was months ago. I'm just now getting around to it. Instead, I sometimes just sit down on the curb and I watch the world pass by because people watching is fun. Did this a lot when I was at LSU. We'd hop on a bus, Greyhound or Continental, one of those. I don't know. They would come up in front of the student union on a Friday. And for $5, you could take a bus ride, go down to New Orleans, and they'd drop you off, and then you could get a ride back at some point. You know, get a hotel room, spend the night, Friday night, stay, come home late Saturday or something. And it was just a great place to just go watch people. And I've spent way too much time sitting on curbs and the French Quarter in New Orleans, jeans and a flannel shirt in the winter months, and just watching people. So it's a hazard that I still suffer. Super successful people, they walk the same lines as the failures sometimes. And this particular line, the one between fear and faith, is common to us all. I suspect a lot of these lines are common to us all. And to know that whether we fail or whether we succeed, we're still walking the same lines. Probably because we're all interested in profit and survival. And I know those concepts represent different things to each of us. For instance, my idea of profit is not likely what Mark Cuban or Donald Trump think. Ditto for survival. But we're each interested in it as it fits what we think, as it fits what we want, as it fits what we know to be realistic. What is realistic for Mark Cuban and Donald Trump is not realistic for me. Duh. But it doesn't mean that that line between faith and fear isn't there. It doesn't mean that our pursuit of profit, our pursuit of survival, isn't common. It is. we just defined those terms a little bit differently. Okay, a lot differently. But we're interested in it. We're interested in it as it fits what we think, what we want, and what we know to be realistic. More zeros in the numbers does not make the line disappear. The fact that there are way more zeros in Mark Cuban's world and Donald Trump's world than my world or your world does not mean that that line between faith and fear vanishes. It doesn't. We assume that guy over there, yeah, that one, that guy over there, that guy earning tons more money than we are and experiencing wild popularity, way more than we'll ever experience, he's not suffering the worries that we are. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. In fact, he may be experiencing them at double speed compared to us and with double volume or at some intensity that might put me in a coma. You just never know. Look at the stories that we most enjoy. They are the stories of success. They are the stories of failure. We love the success stories. Why? Well, they inspire us, man. They give us hope. We love to read about this person. We love to see the video of the people that publisher clearinghouse, they knock on the door and they have this big oversized check and it's you $5,000 a week. And we're like, man, can you imagine? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, that's a terrific story. Gives us hope. Hey, it could if it happened to them, it could happen to us. Not likely, but it could. So we love these success stories. They're great. We relate to the stories of failure because, well, it's such a common experience. Happy to hear the suffering of others, that might be attractive to some, but I suspect most of us, you and me, it's not like we don't enjoy hearing about the failure of somebody else because we get this hee-hee-hee giggle out of it. I suspect most of us, we love to hear the stories of struggle because, man, me too. We just understand them. We can relate to them. Those, think about this. Those stories of failure, they are universally relatable stories. Why? Because we've all experienced that. We've not all experienced that knock on the door and the $5,000 big oversized check. But we've all experienced failure. The failure stories are way more relatable, way more successful at tugging on our heartstrings than the success stories, because we've all got that in common. The most successful people on the planet have failed. But that aloneness is not filled by simply hearing or seeing the stories. They can help. Now, but the connection is more than hearing a story. It's getting to know the person who experienced it. It's making an investment to help them move past it if they're currently experiencing it. It's knowing that we're important enough to them to have some ability to help them in lifting their own burdens. Genuine togetherness in walking the line between faith and fear without embarrassment, without hesitation. Yeah, there's the rub. That's the deep connection that most of us seek. Knowing what others share, and knowing that they share our experience, doesn't necessarily make it any easier for us to share or for us to foster sharing. Probably because it's just so personal and it makes us so vulnerable. My question is, vulnerable to what? Vulnerable to what? I mean, does it really matter? What matters is we're afraid to let people know we're afraid. Well, it's a universal feeling. So you think you're special? You think you've got no fear? You think you've got no failure in your life? Pride. Well, okay, carried to the nth degree, hubris. That's the crux of it. Even losers have their pride and dignity. And boy, we will hang on to that, even if it cost us improvement. Even if it cost us success, we will hang on to our pride. You know it's true. You know it's true. Because it's happened to you, and maybe it's happening to you right now.
Well, it's the same old song. Born meets girl, girl meets boy, they carry on. They close their eyes and kiss until the world is gone. Oh, yes, it's true. It's happening to you. You know what they say. They pledge their love forever.
John Prine, a 1980 CD, Storm Windows. It is not available at iTunes, and I don't know why. Now, you can find this song. It's on some of his best of and his anthologies, but this CD, this release, Storm Windows, is not on iTunes. I don't get it. The name of the song is It's Happening to You. Now, John, he's singing about love, but failure may be more universal than love. Fear even more so. Ditto for pride.
I love her. She loved me too. We had a lot of love. Now it's all good. Well, it's the same old song. Boy meets girl and girl meets boy. They carry on. They close their eyes and kiss until the world is gone. Oh, yes, it's true. It's happening to you. It's happening.
One of my all-time favorites, John Prine. I can honestly tell you, if he has a record, if he's released it, now I'm not going to say this, because it's not true about some of the best of stuff, but I do have the double CD anthology that's got, you know, a lot of his older classic stuff. But if he recorded it, I bought it. With the exception, like I said, of some of the best ofs. I mean, what's the point, you know, if I've got the original? And again, I had the majority of the early stuff on vinyl. And then when CDs came around, got them on CD. I was stunned when I looked, because I always look to see if this stuff's available on iTunes. Cause I want you to go buy the music. I want you to support these artists. And, unfortunately we're living in a day and age where buying their recordings isn't necessarily supporting them. It kind of sorta is. And it's all I know to tell you to do. I have told you before, if John Prine comes to your town, go see him. Go see him. John's had some bouts with cancer, and he's had, you know, I think part of his jaw removed and whatnot. Lifelong smoker. Not good, John, not good. But one of the all-time great songwriters, a great lyricist, just terrific stuff. It's happening to you. And it could be pride. It could be fear. It could be any number of things, even though John is singing about love. It's pride that stops you from pursuing that job you'd really like to have. It's pride that stops you from writing that book you've always claimed you're going to write. It's pride that stops you from telling somebody how much you care about them. Why? Well, no, it's not pride. It's not pride. It's maybe it's fear, people say. No, I'm going to tell you it's pride. You know why? Because it's risky. Because it's risky. Because it might not work out as you hope. You might fail. In fact, you might fail colossally. Too often we let the fear drive our pride higher and our willingness to give it a go lower. That's a no-growth proposition for sure, to just let fear drive pride ever higher and higher so we just are increasingly not willing to try something. I think it's time to take a chance. Time to risk failure for the opportunity for success. That's right. Time to risk failure instead of success. And as for pride, who cares? Who cares? Maybe it's time to take pride in your growth and in the outcome of things that you're willing to attempt, even in the face of risking. Maybe that's where the pride ought to be. Even in the face of risking failure, we're going to take pride in trying. So today's the day. Today's the day. It's the day to make the phone call that scares you to death. To start writing the book, to start recording the podcast, to start soliciting the sale. Anything else that you're really wanting to try, but too fearful, just too fearful. Step over the line. Well, shoot fire. Walk or run past fear and failure toward a new line, a line between trying and doing nothing. And then keep walking until you're way toward doing and you're way far away from doing nothing. Because doing nothing doesn't work. Doing something gives you feedback, and feedback is vital to figuring it out. Nobody figured out much by just sitting around doing nothing. Leaning toward wisdom demands that we figure things out. So we got to get busy figuring things out. Hey, I'm here. I'm here to help if you need me, because we're all in this together. And besides, I want to hear about what happens. I want to hear about what happens, and I want to hear that you have left behind the house of pride.
Look at this bag of groceries, think of these missing years. Babies in the ocean, and I can't go out in tears. The telephone is ringing, there's a package at the door. But I'll never know what's in them if I'm stuck to the killing floor. Stuck down in the house of pride. Stuck down in the house of pride. No matter how much you love me or who is on my side, I'm still down in the house of pride.
It's a 2008 CD by J.D. Souther. Name of the record is If the World Was You. Name of the song is House of Pride. J.D. Souther's another one of those, he was part of the Eagles clan and ran with those guys and ran with Jackson Brown. Had a great record back in the days of vinyl. Souther Hillman Furay Band with Chris Hillman and Richie Furay of Poco fame. He was one of those alt-country guys. J.D. Souther. I like this guy. He's a pretty fair singer. This is a different kind of a song for him, but House of Pride. You need to leave the house of pride that's stopping you, and you need to enter the house of pride. Pride in trying. Pride in giving it a go. Pride in realizing you're not in this alone, so quit acting like you're special. Just give it a go.
Glowing like the California sun. Well, here comes a break in a rain. Well, it looks like one.
If that tempo doesn't get you going, well, I don't know. I don't know what tempo you need. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. If you just go over there and you plug in the number 4074, it'll take you right to the show notes. I'd like for you to join the Facebook group. It's probably not the most meaningful thing for my popularity, but it's how I roll. We can interact and have some conversation there. I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you listening to episode 4074. Greetings from inside the Yellow Studio.
From the House of Pride, I'm gonna be gone from the House of Pride. There's someone in the driveway, and I'm going for a ride. Gone from the House of Pride.
All right, let's take you out with, I was digging through CDs, and this is a group, I don't know, I hadn't heard anything from these guys in a long time. I've got three of their CDs, and this was a CD that was released in 1991. The guy's got a really unique voice. Most singers have a pretty high register. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it records well. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, people seem to be attracted to people that can really, that can hit these high notes. Me, yeah, I'm way more of a baritone kind of a guy. And this guy is, he's way more baritone than me, the lead singer of this group. A 1991 record by a group called Crash Test Dummies. The name of the record is The Ghost That Haunt Me. And I'm going to play this track. This is the title track, The Ghost That Haunt Me. And I'm playing it because it seems fitting for today's show. In our walking this line between faith and fear, there are these ghosts. There are these demons. There are these boogeymen that we all experienced as little kids that lived under our bed or in our closet. Now as adults, we know they're not there, but they are there. There are ghosts that haunt all of us. It's the ghost of failure. It's the ghost of I'll look stupid. It's the ghost of they'll say no. They'll reject me. I mean, we've got all kinds of these hangups that I strongly, I know in my own life, these are the things that hold me back. It's not the universe. It's not the world conspiring against me. It's my own head trash. It's my own ability to, or inability sometimes, to get out of my own way and to just try. So what if people laugh? So I get behind a microphone and I hit record and I put some stuff out there. And so what if nobody listens? I've already told you I didn't start doing this to get listeners anyway. I did this for my kids. I did this for my family. It's kind of morphed and grown from there. The fact that you're here is great, and it's bonus for me. I think it's awesome, and I'm appreciative of it. And the fact that, you know, I don't have some huge crowd does not bother me in the least, because I'm a guy kind of prone to a small crowd. I'm more prone to deeper connections. So here you go. Think about the ghosts that haunt you. And think about ways that you can conquer and you can kill those ghosts. Crash Test Dummies, 1991, The Ghosts That Haunt Me. Enjoy. And buy the record. It is available at iTunes. I checked.
There's a skeleton in everybody's closet. I can think of one or two in my own room. But I would like to introduce them both to you. Shake their bony hands and so dispel the gloom. 'Cause you're so kind, I know you would not mind. Send away the ghosts that haunt me now. Yeah, the things I fear just wouldn't seem so near. When I stroll out late at night, would be nothing rattling at my heels. There are nights when all my aching bones won't let me sleep. Demons come to plague me as I lie in bed. There beside me then, but you would fend them off and they would let me rest. You're so kind, I know you would not mind. Send away ghosts that haunt me now. Yet things I fear just wouldn't seem so near. When I stroll out late at night, would be nothing rattling at my ears. Nights when the wind comes out of my old place, I have dreams. Yeah, I wake up with the sweat pouring down my face, and I wait until the morning comes.
time I feel when all my days are done, they will come collect my corpse and bury me. But I hope that you come over to the other side, join me in our new life, keep me company. Cause you're so kind, I know you would not mind. Send away the ghost and on and now. Yeah, the things I fear just wouldn't seem so near. When I stroll out late at night, would be nothing rallying at my